trust. William Ward writes, "To laugh is to risk appearing the fool. To weep is to risk appearing sentimental. To reach for another is to risk involvement. To expose your feelings is to risk exposing your true self. To place your ideas, your dreams before a crowd is to risk their loss. To love is to risk not being loved in return. To live is to risk dying. To believe is to risk despair. To try is to risk failure. But risks must be taken because the greatest hazard in life is to risk nothing." The word trust has a deep Scandinavian root related to confidence and reliance. It's also got a deep root in German meaning consolation. Cynthia Wall says, "No one is born knowing how to trust. Life gives us many teachers, some caring and others cruel. Few people receive a solid base of trust as children. Even fewer are taught how to trust themselves." End quote. So this morning, I'm hoping that we can begin a two-part conversation that will continue next Sunday about trust. So to start, I'm going to make some statements and ask you to raise your hand if you resonate with any of them. Ready? I trust others implicitly and expect them to behave and promote goodness. I'm inherently suspicious and afraid to open up and share my story. I'm kind of in the middle and lean towards trusting others. I'm kind of in the middle and lean towards suspicion and fear. I didn't raise my hand. Thank you. So now I'd like your help in putting together a collective definition of trust, what it means to you. Can you call out the qualities of what makes someone trustworthy? Keeps confidences. They do what they say they're going to do. Consistent, reliability,
eye contact,
honesty,
listen without judgment,
safety, truth, dependability, vulnerable,
won't knowingly harm me.
They listen to me.
Speaking out.
Revealing themselves.
Vulnerability.
Accountability.
Non-judgmental.
Desire for a cooperative relationship.
Kindness.
Authentic.
Assuming the best about me.
Show up. Repaying a debt.
Respect.
Takes risks.
That's good. Has good boundaries.
Plays fair.
True to self.
True to self.
Rational.
Rational.
Integrity.
Thank you. Thank you for all that you have shared. So we know that trust is a quality that needs to be cultivated over time. It doesn't just happen. We take risks by opening ourselves up, by becoming vulnerable, by speaking truth with kindness, disagreeing with respect, committing for the long haul, showing up when it counts, admitting mistakes, forgiving mistakes, being an agent of healing. How does it feel when someone engages in cultivating trust with you? It's a good feeling. It can be scary. But overall, it feels good to be trusted, right? For me, it's an honor to be seen as someone dependable and loyal. Trust engenders intimacy. It creates a strong bond and builds strong foundations. There's a sense of being grounded in something deep, beyond superficial likes and affinities. It's a sign that we have shared something important of ourselves and that something is valued, cared for, protected, and loved. In congregations, this trust is manifested in our covenantal relationship and expressed through our covenant of right relationship. More than a document, it is a living and dynamic spiritual practice that expresses our values and our commitment to build our religious community on a foundation of kindness, understanding, tolerance, and to be guided by our principles in all our actions and interactions. We covenant to welcome one another as unique individuals and to celebrate our diverse beliefs as we walk our chosen paths together. We promise to share our gifts and to encourage and appreciate the contributions of others, to foster a community of respect, to speak kindly of one another and to one another. And should difficulties arise between or among us, to speak directly to those concerned with the goal of forgiveness, of reconciliation, of moving forward together. We commit to not engage in harmful gossip, and we urge others to resolve difficulties directly with the person concerned. We commit to participate in the democratic process by which our religious community governs itself and to respect the outcomes of the collective wisdom. For the health and well-being of our beloved community, we pledge this together and strive to live into it and breathe life to it every time we interact. Our covenant of right relationship is our guide for cultivating trust. For we know that we need one another, that we need community, people we can trust, with whom we can share our joys and sorrows, to create meaning out of this life, to share this journey. But what happens when trust is broken? Who here has not experienced broken trust during our lifetime? I know I have. Yeah, thanks, Martha. I think we all have. And what that feels like for me, it's like a physical sensation as well as an emotional one, a sick feeling in my gut, a sinking feeling of deep disappointment, sometimes even numbness, something akin to grief. And when we are the ones to break the trust, we might feel guilty, ashamed, defensive maybe, embarrassed or ashamed that we think there might be something wrong with us, feeling that we're not as good as we thought, even wanting to run away. Have you had that sinking feeling when trust is broken? Have you felt disappointment? Have you fallen into numbness because it's just too much?
I know I had.
Thank you, Martha. Thank you, Annie. I know I have too. We grieve the loss of friendships. We grieve the loss of relationships, whether it's an intimate, romantic relationship, or maybe even a coworker. We grieve the loss after we have risked to trust. What happens when trust is broken more than once? If we are the type of person who risks being vulnerable, who opens their hearts, who shares their story, and who commits to cultivating right relationship, but in turn we receive disappointment, disrespect, maybe even emotional injuries, do we change? Does that change us? Do we become cynical, superficial, afraid of intimacy? How long before we trust again? It takes a lot of work, patience, faith, generosity of spirit, unconditional love for self and others, truth-telling with kindness, and a lot of time to build the strong foundation of trust, especially if we identify as someone who is slow to warm up to, someone who has developed a thick skin precisely because of previous broken trust and just plain bad experiences. It takes time, years, to cultivate trust, and yet it can be broken in a second. Isn't that something? Whether the product of gossip or an affair, power dynamics or need to control, immaturity, selfishness, conflict aversion, lying to cover up an addiction, the inability to be transparent and speak your truth, or just fear and suspicion of trust itself and what it might mean for opening up your heart even further. All these things and more can break trust. In my life, I have experienced broken trust at the governmental level, within a marriage, in friendships, in employment situations. I have experienced the broken trust relationship with myself when I have betrayed or compromised my dignity. And with each experience of broken trust, I have before me the choice to develop that proverbial thicker skin, to become detached, cynical, to close myself off, to swear off falling in love again. But what do? Time and time and time again, I choose to trust, to dive in, sometimes even without checking if there's water in the pool. Not suggesting you do that. But yeah, each time the choice is before me, I have chosen to love again, to give myself another chance to trust, to allow my broken heart to remain open to take that leap of faith, to trust that the rose will open, that my fear will burn away, that my soul will once again unfurl its wings, that the rose of trust will bloom again in my heart. On Friday night, we gathered here in the sanctuary to celebrate the life of beloved poet Mary Oliver. It was a magical night, very contemplative. We each brought our favorite poems and shared them. For me, there is a direct connection between the poem Wild Geese and my presence here in the sanctuary. That poem inspired my first sermon here as a ministerial candidate and has continued to inspire and cultivate my trust in you, in this beloved community. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over, announcing your place in the family of things. This poem is about so many things. And for me, it's also about trust. It encourages us to become vulnerable, to lean on each other, especially when we are going through difficult times. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. This is a poem about acceptance, about belonging, about making room for all of our feelings, especially those that scare us. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely. And this is the beauty of being a part of a community, of this community, that we are in a covenantal relationship based on trust, that we open ourselves up to being vulnerable, that we reach out and care for each other, that we come together to bear witness to the beauty of grace, the life-giving experience of shared hope, the salvific, redemptive power of unconditional love. In this place, we gather our broken pieces. We mend and we heal. We sing and we reimagine ourselves. We pray and we share our despair and our hopes. We forgive ourselves and each other. And we begin again in love with each new breath. Buddhist nun Pema Chodron says that life is like stepping into a boat that is about to sail out to sea and sink. Now, that's not a very reassuring vision, is it? But she wants to make the point about our human condition, about our desperate desire for certainty, about how we struggle with change, how we long for solid ground, for predictability. But of course, the nature of life is constant change and impermanence. And this produces fear and anxiety. But what if, she says, what if in the face of uncertainty, instead of fear and anxiety, we practice trusting that this is what it means to be human. In the Tibetan tradition, there are three vows, three commitments that help us to embrace change and cultivate trust. The first is a commitment to doing our best to not cause harm with our actions or words or thoughts. A commitment to being good to each other, very much like our covenant of right relationship. This first vow offers us the opportunity to refrain from speaking or acting out of our own fears and anxieties. The second vow is called the Bodhisattva vow, a commitment to dedicate our lives to keeping our hearts and minds open and to nurturing our compassion to ease the suffering of others. The third is a vow to resolve to embrace the world just as it is, to consider everything we encounter as an energy that can help us awaken even further. When we resist change, it results in suffering. But when we can bring ourselves not to struggle against it, we might experience freedom from struggling against it. Notice I did not say that you would not experience freedom from suffering, because I believe that there are some changes, some losses, some grief that is so deep that no matter how enlightened we believe ourselves to be, we just need to feel what we need to feel. In the face of most changes, we can experience the freedom to choose a new path. Instead of feeling, this is the only way, this is how it should be, end of discussion, we might choose to stay open to other possibilities. We might choose not to cling to our egos, to shed our thick skin, our armor, to trust the universe, to trust that love will prevail. Did you know that an emotion like anger, that's an automatic response, lasts just 90 seconds from the moment it's triggered until it runs its course? 1.5 minutes, that's all. When it lasts any longer, which it usually does, it's because we've chosen to rekindle it. Sometimes in the face of a dilemma, our response is to rev up our thoughts about the thing we fear the most or that has triggered anxiety in us by anticipating disaster. What if this happens? What if that happens? Sound familiar? Our body, our mind, our spirit become engaged in negative thoughts and we are no longer present and open. Anxiety might make us experience uneasiness, edginess, queasiness, even sheer terror. Anxiety makes us feel vulnerable, and most of us want to avoid feeling vulnerable. What if we thought of vulnerability as a signpost, as a threshold, as an invitation, as an open door? What if we practice staying with the feeling of being vulnerable for 1.5 minutes once a day, once a week, or as many times during the day as you can? What if we relaxed into this challenge to open our hearts and minds and practice showing up, being present, open heart? Every time we pause and choose to stay present, to not run away, to stay at the table, we open ourselves up to new possibilities. We don't have to panic or withdraw into ourselves. No need to fight or flee. We can stay engaged with others and at the same time acknowledge what we're feeling. After all, we're all in the process of becoming, in the process of evolving. We are creating our future with every word, with every action, with every thought. We can choose freedom from a closed heart. Our challenge and invitation is to be fully present, to feel our hearts, actually placing our hand on our heart when we face fear, anxiety, when we think we just want to flee and not engage. Check your heart. Talk to your heart. Breathe in peace into your heart. Give yourself compassion, unconditional love. Trust your heart. Next week, we will continue to explore trust. For now, I will close with the words of my colleague, Dan Miyake, who writes, "It takes courage to have faith and trust our truth, to risk opening up to that still small voice inside of us and to being willing to trust it. When we allow ourselves to be guided by that voice, we open ourselves up to new truths and revelations about ourselves. When we lose faith, it is easy to remain stagnant and cling to old thought patterns that no longer work for us. Our task then, when we find ourselves losing faith, is to look within. Listen to your heart. Breathe. When we find ourselves floundering, look to those who can reignite our inner spark of truth until we can trust our own. Amen. Ashe, and blessed be.